Good morning, gang.
All the right people are here.
Just some of the riffraff dropped out, I guess.
Press.
The last two chapters in Luke that we've been studying, 15, 16, 17, are unique to Luke.
That is, they're not found in the other Gospels.
But as I was looking around at Ray Simmons' old messages, I found a very good message by Ray that does an excellent summary on chapter 17, so I gave you that today.
It ties together very well. There is a theme, very definitely a theme, running through these chapters, like four lost things, chapter on wealth, and today we get chapter 18, where we want to go today. Now, just before chapter 18, Jesus has been asked about the coming of the kingdom, and he answers them in kind of cryptic terms, but essentially says the kingdom may be long delayed in coming.
It's not going to be a political coup, it's not going to be an overthrow of the government.
When it comes, it will be very radical, but there could be a long time delay.
And I'm going to go away for a while. And there could be a considerable amount of hardship and suffering for you before the kingdom finally comes.
And there may be a lot of deception in the world.
Now, the disciples assumed that he was going to go away, if the kingdom was delayed, it would be a few weeks.
Nobody had any idea the time of 2,000 years. Even the apostles in the first century thought that the coming of the kingdom would surely be in their lifetimes.
And so now we have the advantage of looking back over history and seeing that long delay in the coming of the kingdom.
Well, that sort of sets the prelude for this opening prayer in chapter 18.
And Jesus wants to teach his disciples about prayer. He spoke a parable to them to the effect that men should always pray and not faint.
I remember when Ray Simmons taught on this once, and he said, you have two options in life, either you pray or you faint.
That prayer is our great source and our great source of strength, and if you don't pray, you're probably going to get distracted and pressed and weary and fall by the wayside and faint away.
So it's a good idea to develop a healthy prayer life. But here's the idea, if there is a long delay in the coming of the kingdom, it might be necessary for us to be committed to long-term objectives and to learn to pray with that in mind.
And he tells them the following parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And there was a certain widow in the city, and he came to him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. But the judge would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me.
The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. We're not to assume that God is like an unjust judge. The widow has a picture of a helpless person. She very much needs help from the judge. Maybe the landlord charged her too much rent, or somebody has cheated her out of her Social Security. Her livelihood depends on getting help from the judge. So she pesters him and bugs him. And maybe she even bugs him in public so that it embarrasses him. It becomes very clear that he's not a just judge, he's acting in the best interest of the citizens.
So this is twice here that he doesn't fear God and he doesn't regard man.
That's not a very good kind of public official to have in as a judge. But she pesters him enough that he says, okay, I'll go ahead. And he goes and solves the problem of this widow. And then that way shall be content and problem solved. Not that he's going to change life and do that for everybody. He's going to go right on being unjust. The point here so far is that the woman persisted until she got the answers that she desperately needed. But she was not appealing to a good, kind, benevolent God. Who is eager to answer the prayers of his own people.
It becomes very clear that,
that he's not a just judge.
Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out
day and night to
him?
Says it twice here.
Though he bears long with them,
fear God,
though he,
and he doesn't regard man. That's
not a very good kind of a public official.
I tell you that he will avenge them speedily
enough. That he
nevertheless,
says,
when the Son of Man
comes, will he really find faith on the earth and solves the problem for this widow,
and then that way she'll shut up
speedily
and be content
and the problem solved.
God will avenge his people speedily.
He's going to go right on.
I think that speedily is in his own timetable.
Unjust.
I'm sure you've all had the experience of praying and praying.
The point here so far is that the woman persisted
until she got
terribly urgent,
and he is totally silent. But you might be tempted to think that God is eager to answer the prayers of his own people.
Shall God not avenge his own elect?
And obviously, there's some distortions here.
Though he bears long with them.
Sometimes we think that the mere repetition of a prayer
counts
as extra points with God, and he likes
to hear
you
pray. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily.
Oh, okay,
that's good enough.
When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the
earth?
Do we think that the quality of our prayer depends on the quantity of words we use?
God will avenge his people make up long speeches.
Well, I think that's
God how good he is
and remind him of all
time
of what a gracious God he is and how well
behaved. I'm sure you've all had the experience
of praying
you are
and praying and praying and not getting
an
answer.
Would he be kind
to please answer
you?
And he is totally
silent. Very good either.
And you might be
or maybe God is ignorant
and doesn't understand our true situation,
so we should really inform him of all the things that
why we need
a long list answered right now.
Can't get around to you.
And obviously there's some distortions here.
When people pray, sometimes they're educating God as if
sometimes
somehow
we think that the mere
unaware of
your
prayer,
circumstances
counts as extra points with God.
Do people think that you have to get God to change his mind?
Oh, okay, that's good enough. He really didn't care in the first place.
But
if you hound him enough, he'll say, "Oh, okay."
Do we think that the quality of our prayer depends on the quantity of words we use?
Mind that are all wrong.
Probably you've heard people make up long speeches.
Tell God how
but
good he is.
The reality
and remind
is
him
that there are times in life when you will pray
and how well behaved you've been,
desperately and
how
not
worthy you are of
getting your prayer answered,
an answer
and would he
long
be kind
delayed
to please answer
how about
you?
Some, can you think
well,
of any reasons?
I'm
remembering that God, or maybe God is ignorant,
he suffers with us,
situation, so we
in
really
the
informative of all the things that
he is caring and compare
answered right now.
He is anxious to vindicate us
speedily.
If, you know, we have to,
then
you
why
you hear that?
And
when people pray, sometimes they're educating
what are some
God
of the factors that you
somehow
think of or that
he was unaware of your
long delays
to urgent prayers.
Do people think that you have to? You have to get God to change his mind, that if you bug him enough, he'll change his mind, that he really didn't care in the first place, but if you hound him enough, he'll say, oh, okay.
His
like
timing is always
judge.
Perfect,
well,
and sometimes the answers to my prayer may depend on the answer to several other prayers or to the circumstances in other
but
people's
the reality
lives
is that there are times in life when
in
you will pray
urgently
and
place.
Desperately
yes.
And not get an answer or have an answer long delay.
Very often the exercise
why?
Of prayer
about
will get
some,
you to examine
you
your own motives.
Remembering
how badly
God
do you want help?
Is long-suffering.
He suffers with us.
The prayer will
help
all
see things
of our life.
Clearly.
He is caring and compassionate. He is anxious to vindicate us speedily.
Then why shouldn't he answer us instantly?
What are some of the factors that you could think of or that you've experienced in long delays to urgent prayers? His timing is always perfect, and sometimes the answer to my prayer
the hard
may depend
and
on
that's
the
right.
answer
and,
to several
to be
other
able to
prayers
thank God
or
in
all
your
circumstances
and
other
people's
lives
that have to come together
in order
a lot of
my
pressing
prayer
needs.
Fits
in
usually we think the needs that are pressing in our lives are not all that really urgent.
Very often the exercise of prayer will get you to examine your own motives. How badly do you want help? Have you thought this problem through? And the exercise of prayer
will
help you.
I'm thankful that God did not answer a lot of things I prayed for in the past, or that would have been just disaster by now around here for everybody. So persistent prayer is perfectly acceptable. It's perfectly okay to persist in prayer respectfully for a long period of time and remind God. Without making long speeches, okay? In the hard times in the dry place, that's right. And to be able to thank God in all your circumstances. What can you be thankful for even when there's a lot of pressing needs? Usually we think the needs that are pressing in our lives.
The very prayer will very often give
you
a certain peace
that
it will be worked out, the situation is worked out, the answer is coming. And you can rest easy, and the anxiety will drop down to a low level.
And I'm thankful that God has you when the answer comes, and it comes speedily.
But the idea of God worrying about 2,000 years of history before he can get around to answering all the prayers.
So tremendous management of the world problem.
So persistent prayer is
not mean that he's neglected you or forgotten you because you fit in perfectly.
In prayer,
and he's respectfully for a long period of time and
remind God.
And we are helpless like this widow.
Making long speeches.
But we're not going to an unjust judge. We're going to a just judge. And he acts speedily, but the speedily is in his own time scale. God can be pokey at times. He's seldom early, but never late. That's what Ray Stedman said.
Seldom early, never late.
Always
prayer
shows up right
very
on time,
often
but he gives
you
a certain peace
early.
That it will be worked out. The situation is worked out. The answer is coming.
All right.
And you
now,
can rest easy, and the anxiety
that's
will
that's the first
down
lesson on prayer. And you can see that fits in then. With,
and then God will surprise
times,
you when the answer
comes.
Delay
in the
coming
speedily.
Of the kingdom.
But
the idea
notice
of
how
God worrying about 2,000 years
of when the Son of Man
before he can get around to answering all the prayers. Tremendous management
of
the world
does
problem
finally
that's going
return,
on. And when
does
the kingdom
not mean
of God
he's
comes,
neglected you or forgotten you because you
will
fit
he
in
find
perfectly.
Faith on the earth?
And he's a God
will
who by nature
any
is
faith
compassion.
On the earth?
And we are that. Helpless like this widow. But we're not going to an unjust judge. We're going to a just judge. And he acts speedily, but the speedily is in his own time scale. God can be pokey at times. It's seldom
in
early,
any
but
case,
never late.
The
idea is that
seldom
the
early,
never
late.
It always shows up right on time, but he doesn't use
abundant flourishing faith on the earth.
When the Lord comes back, he may not
right.
find
now,
an awful lot of people.
That's the first
in
lesson
prayer
on prayer.
And you can see that fits
no
in then.
Time
with,
revival.
Hard times,
rough
delay in the coming of the kingdom. And you notice how he closes here with, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? What's that mean? When the Son of Man does finally return, and when the kingdom of God comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Yes.
Will he find any faith on the earth? That didn't say that. Yeah, God sometimes slows history down in order to allow the outworking of the gospel. In any case, then, the idea is that the future is a little
so
pessimistic.
Knowing this, would this encourage you to tough it out?
Yes.
When the Lord comes back,
you
may not find an awful lot of
willing
people
to see God as
fervent
really
in prayer
is
and hanging
yes,
in there. And
I think
there's probably no end
that.
Time revival, and it could be rough going.
When he comes for his church, when he comes back for the kingdom to bring Israel into the kingdom, will he find a flourishing body of believers? Probably not.
Anyway,
yeah,
we
God
go on.
Slows history down
he spoke this parable
the outworking of the
to
gospel.
Some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Pretty strong language.
So,
and he tells the following story. Two men went up to the temple
to
pray.
Yes.
One a Pharisee
would you
and
hang
the other
in there,
a tax collector.
Would you be willing to see God as
the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The tax collector, standing afar off,
when
would
he
not so much as
church,
raise his eyes to heaven,
back for the kingdom,
but
to
beat
bring
his breast,
Israel
saying,
kingdom,
God,
be
merciful to me, a sinner.
A flourishing body
I tell
of
you,
believers.
This man went down to his house justified.
Anyway, here we go on.
He spoke this parable
rather than the other.
Now, to
everyone who
trusted in
himself
will
be
abased,
and
he who humbles himself
will
be exalted. And he tells the following story. Two men
that
went up to the temple
Jewish
to pray.
Of prayer,
one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector.
That's kind of standard Jewish.
The Pharisee
to
stood and prayed
and
thus with himself.
Anybody could
God,
pray
I thank you that I am not
it's
like other men, extortioners,
so,
unjust, adulterers,
the tax collectors,
remember,
like this
were
tax
worse
collector.
Than drug dealers. They were worse
I
than people that started
twice a week. I give tithes.
All that I possess.
And they're really low life. They're just
the tax
absolutely the lowest of the low.
Jesus has always gotten
so
in trouble
much
when
as
he had
raise
his
eyes
to
heaven,
or
but beat his
them,
breast, saying, God, be merciful to me.
And the Pharisee is
I
the
tell you,
paragon of virtue.
This man
he is
went down to his house justified.
Knows the law of Moses, sense.
And he is
rather
very,
than
very
the
careful
other.
In the observance
for everyone
of
who exalts
duties,
himself will be
excess.
Abased, and he who humbles himself
he's very
will
carefully
be
adjusted
exalted.
His lifestyle. He's not an extortioner.
Right. He's
strong.
Just,
he doesn't hang
Jewish
out with adulterers
very often. Is
he
fasts
twice
Iran
a week.
Race.
The law of
that's
Moses said
you
standard Jewish
have
and look up to God,
year,
and that
be
enough. Perfectly acceptable.
He tithes of everything.
Anybody
cover all
the
bases.
Covers all
it's
the bases.
A public place of prayer.
Well, you'd think
so,
that this guy is just
the tax collectors.
God's
remember,
say,
were worse than drug dealers.
Dealer.
They
were worse than people.
Son, here he's just
town.
Doing everything right.
And they're really low
wrong.
Life. They're just
it's
the
badly
the
wrong.
Lowest of the low. Jesus has always gotten in trouble when he had
very
done with
religious.
A tax collector or hung out with them.
He thinks he's worthy.
A friend
so
of self-righteous. Self-righteous.
The Pharisee
you notice
is
that
who
the
he's praying
paragon
to.
Of virtue.
He prayed thus with himself.
He
knows the law of Moses,
God,
and he is
another.
Very,
he's
very
really
careful in the observance of his religious
well, maybe
duties.
Maybe even to be seen
to
in public.
Excess. He's very carefully adjusted his lifestyle. He's not
yeah,
a
extortioner. Yeah, and I'm a really good person.
There's
he's
a whole bunch
just,
of things that are not
he
on this
hang
list
out with
that
adulterers.
Maybe he hasn't even thought about.
He fasts twice a week. A lot of Moses
he does, so he's not given
he
to a lot of
self-examination.
Only it would be enough. He tithes of everything to cover all the bases.
Self-love.
He covers all the bases.
Really quite impressive.
Well, you'd think
himself.
That this guy has just been to the right seminary.
He'd say, this is my
exemplary son here.
Well,
he's just
speaking,
doing
speaks
everything
from the
right.
Voice. He's,
what's wrong?
Answer all the questions.
It's badly wrong.
Moral and virtuous and well respected in the community.
Very religious.
He thinks he's worthy,
so he's
self-righteous.
Do we have any people like this today? You notice
no.
That who he's praying to?
They're all extinct.
He prayed
right?
Thus with himself.
So, unfortunately,
would there be anybody in this room?
No.
Maybe even to be seen.
Now,
in
this
public.
Tax collector, low life, standing
yeah,
afar
really,
off,
really
he doesn't
person.
Want to
there's
go
a whole bunch
into
of things
the
that
holy
are not
part
on this list that maybe he hasn't even thought about.
Part of the temple.
He approaches
he does,
to
so
the
he's not given to a lot of self-examination.
And instead of lifting up his arms in prayer, he falls
self-love.
He's really quite impressed with himself.
And beats his chest
and cries out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
He asks one thing above all else.
Speaks with the same
for mercy.
Voice. He's,
mercy.
Answer all the questions.
Righteous
moral
people
and
don't
virtuous
need any
and
mercy.
Well respected in the community.
People that have got their act all together don't need any mercy.
Paragon
people
of
that
mercy.
Are in.
Do we have any people like
God
this today?
Don't need mercy.
No.
How about the rest?
They're
of
all extinct.
Yeah,
right?
We need mercy.
So, unfortunately, would there
and
be
how
anybody
about the content
in this room?
Of his prayer?
No.
pretty simple, isn't it?
Now, this tax collector.
Pretty
this
simple.
Tax collector. Lowlife.
It's kind of a paradox that
standing afar off, he doesn't want to go into the holy part of the temple.
He's not worthy to go into that part of the temple.
You ever stop to think
he
about that?
He approaches to the fringes.
And if you have the,
and instead of lifting up his arms in prayer, he falls.
And you may not be doing as well as you think.
And that's probably a good place to be. And cries out to God. Be merciful to me,
a sinner. Yourself,
he asks one thing above all else.
But it's probably a pretty healthy thing to think.
I don't know myself all that well.
Righteous people don't need any mercy.
I don't know of any charges that act altogether don't need any mercy.
I'm not thereby
acquitted. People that are in perfect standing with God don't need mercy.
This man cries out to God for mercy.
And the answer is immediate. God looked down from heaven,
and how about the
Pharisee outside of the family of God, just as he was before, and this tax collector is justified right on the spot.
It's kind of a paradox
that he's acquitted of all of your sins,
that he's welcome in the family. You're a fairly humble person. You probably are.
Just because he cried out in humility for God's mercy and grace.
And if you have the
contrast,
the feeling that you are
detrimental religion can be, to
and
a person
you may not be doing
life
as well as you think, that's probably a good place to be.
Interest a lot of the time.
You notice
you
also
too
that in this particular parable,
down.
Jesus
but
is particularly speaking to those
think,
who
I don't know
trusted
myself all
in
that
themselves
well,
that they were righteous. And
I don't know of
that
any charges that are against
others
me,
but as Paul says, I'm
so
not
they thought they were doing
all
right. At the same time, they have a list
and
of
so
people
this,
they can't stand, look down on, and despise.
This man cries out to God for mercy, and the answer
so
is
that would
immediate
be a good kind of
God
checklist.
Looked down from heaven, and the
what,
Pharisee
what class
is
of people do
outside
we
of
hate,
the
look
down
God,
on, despise
as he was before,
and this tax collector
what
is
nothing
justified
to do with
right on the spot.
It would be kind of a little.
That means he's acquitted of all of his sins and he's welcome in the family.
Thing.
Just like okay that. Just because he cried
too,
out
too powerful
in humility for God's mercy
now we
and
get
grace.
This wonderful teaching about
little children.
Total contrast. How
then they also brought infants to him or small
to
children that he might touch
life
them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him.
You notice also that in this particular parable, Jesus is particularly speaking
to
those who trusted in
our master has
that they were
righteous.
We're doing adult things here
and
today.
Hand
we're
in hand with
this
that,
adult Bible
class.
We can't have any kids here.
So they thought
Jesus
they were doing all right. At the same
Jesus
time, they have
a
list of people they can't
day
stand,
and
look down on, and
go away,
including tax collectors. But Jesus
so
called the
kind of
children to him, and he said, let the little children
what
come
what class
to me
of people do
and do
we
not
hate,
forbid
look
them,
down
for
on
such
despise
is the kingdom of God.
Absolutely wonderful.
What nothing to
teaching
do with.
The openness kind of and the delight Jesus had in small children.
How much he loved to have them come sit on his lap and come and talk to him.
Two powerful
and come and enjoy
now
him.
Now
what
get
is this wonderful teaching about the
remarkable man he was.
Then
around
they also
children
brought infants to him, or small children, that he might touch them. But when his disciples saw
I say
it, they rebuked him.
Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child
will by
kid,
no
runaway
means
kid
enter
go
it
play.
What's that?
Our master
what,
has
why
got
is
important
it
we're
that
doing adult things
you
here
can't
today
get into the kingdom
we're
of God
in this adult
come
Bible
in
class
a childlike way.
What it is
you'll
that God
has
child
Jesus
that
and he's had a long hard day and
picking out
go away.
Trust, children are trusting.
But
no
Jesus called
that
the children to him and he said, let the little children
and
come
open
to me
and teachable
and do not forbid them.
And
for
they will
such
tend to
the
be obedient until somebody's
absolutely
teaches
wonderful.
Otherwise, they tend
teaching
to be eager to
the
learn.
Openness and the delight Jesus had in small children. How much he loved to have them come sit on
children
his lap
tend to be affectionate
and come and talk to him and come and enjoy him. What a
children see truth
and you ever heard a kid come
he
up
was
to you
around little children
and
have children of his own. But how much
speak right in your
them
face and say, Grandpa, you've got a great big grandma. I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God
nobody
as
else in
a
the family would ever tell Grandpa that
will
he's got a great
by
big ugly
no
red
means
nose
enter it.
But the kid will, and
it's
that
not offensive.
What,
why
that
is it that
you, it as,
you can't get into
honest
the kingdom of God unless you come in a childlike way?
What it is it about a child that Jesus is picking out here?
Little kids come running
trust
to daddy.
Children are
when
trusting.
When daddy comes
that
home,
about
we,
that?
Little children,
our little
run
children
right up
are
to
trusting.
Daddy.
Now, why
and open
does that
and
yeah
teachable? And they will. They tend to be obedient until somebody
teaches them otherwise. They tend to be
eager to learn.
Good or bad, yes.
Affectionate. Children tend to be affectionate.
Yes, I remember when I was
children see
older,
truth, and you ever heard a kid come up to you
and the pastor read me this verse. And
speak
thought,
right in your face and say, Grandpa, you've got a great big red nose.
For the first 30 years of my life.
Which, but how fair
nobody else
God
in the family would ever tell Grandpa
terms,
that he's got a great big ugly red nose.
Little
but
children,
the kid will,
and
it's not
people, young people,
you
men and women from everywhere.
The terms of getting in the kingdom are identical. We all have to come like little children, trusting in Jesus, and setting aside any notion
little
of our own
come running to daddy
importance.
Or
when daddy needs. Comes home, the little children run right up to daddy. Now, why does that, yeah.
Good or bad, yes.
Yes, I remember when I was 30 years old and in the process of coming to the Lord, and the pastor read me this verse, and I thought,
it's interesting.
I haven't got anything
Jesus
to tell for the first
30
years
children.
Of my life.
That he also takes great
but how fair of God to make
and
it to make the terms even-handed for everybody.
Even though we
children,
can't
grown
handle
up,
much. Maybe we,
old people, young people, men and women from
everywhere,
the terms of getting in the kingdom are identical.
As his children.
We all have to
this
come like
great.
Little children, trusting in
beautiful
Jesus,
example
and setting aside any notion
Jesus
of our own importance or our own deeds.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, children are very much live in the moment. They do.
Yep, that's just great. Now we get another visit here. This particular story is found in Matthew and Luke and Mark, and hence by piecing these three stories together, we call this the story of the rich young ruler.
It's interesting here that
money.
Jesus takes such young,
delight
so he
in
probably
children.
Inherited it.
He also
a ruler,
takes
he's a man of
in
influence,
us,
high
and
up in
ready
Silicon
to
Valley.
Teach us
and,
lab management.
Even though we can't handle very
a
much,
a certain rich young ruler asked Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?"
Shape us as his children.
Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder.
Yeah.
Do not steal.
Your
do not bear
very
false witness.
Much live in the moment.
Honor
they
your
do.
Father and your mother."
Yep.
And he
said,
"All these things I have kept from
now,
my
we
youth."
Get another.
So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him,
"Here,
this
you
still lack
one story
thing.
Is
sell all that
you
have
and
distribute
and
it to the poor,
and
you will have treasure
the,
in heaven.
We,
and
by
come, follow
these
me."
Three stories together, we get.
But when he
we
heard
call
this,
the story
he became
of the
very
rich,
sorrowful
young ruler,
for he was very rich.
Money.
When
young,
Jesus
he
saw that he became
a ruler,
very sorrowful,
a man of influence,
he said,
high up in
"How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of
God." A certain
God.
Rich young ruler
for it is
asked
easier
Jesus,
for
saying,
a camel
good teacher,
to go
what
through
shall
the
I do
needle's
to inherit
eye,
eternal life?
Than for a rich man to enter
Jesus
the kingdom
said to him,
of God.
"Why do you call me good?
No one is good."
There's something kind of
but
interesting
one,
about this, and
that is
in Mark's
God.
Gospel.
You know the commandments.
There's a little addition.
Adultery,
it says
murder,
that Jesus
steal,
looked at him
not bear
and Jesus
false witness.
Loved him.
"Honor your father and your mother."
And he said,
"All these
that probably
gives
us a
from
clue
my
as to who this man was."
So when Jesus heard these things, he said
been.
To him, "You still lack one thing.
John Mark.
Sell all that you have and distribute it
be,
to the poor, and you will
if
have
this
treasure
was John
in heaven.
Mark,
John
and
Mark,
come
was,
follow me."
God took an interest in Jesus.
But when he heard
was
this,
rich
and
he
was
became
young,
very
came from
sorrowful.
Wealthy background, and he may have,
or he was
very,
very
well
rich.
Turned away
when
and,
Jesus
this
saw
occasion,
that he became
and thought
very
it all
sorrowful.
Over and come back.
He said,
"How hard it is
it's
for
one
those
thing
who
that's
have
really
riches
clear here. Jesus
enter
loved
the kingdom
this man,
of God.
Wanted him to
for
be a follower
easier
and,
for
and camel
so
to
it,
go through the
it
needle's
that God's
eye
just taking volunteers
for a rich man
and he doesn't like you. He loves
the
you
kingdom
and he cares about
God.
You.
And he shares your so sorrow.
There's something
and
kind
he
of
feels sad
that
this
man
has got too much
money.
There's a little addition.
The rich young ruler.
But the main point would be that he's got everything
him.
Together in his life just right spiritually. He's an honest, God-fearing, moral
that
man.
Probably gives
but he's
clue
being held back by
this
his possessions. or vice versa.
Most of us in Silicon Valley.
John
and
Mark.
Hence this, the that would be the,
you don't
the,
have to,
how hard it
if
is.
If this was John Mark,
John Mark was
you
John
don't have an
interest in Jesus.
To be John Mark
was rich and was young and came from a wealthy background.
He may have
very well turned away.
And
I gave you the notes on that,
and
so you
thought it all over and come back.
Wrestle with that if you want. I didn't find that.
There's one thing that's really clear here. Jesus loved this
and
man.
Those who heard it said, "Well, who then can be saved?"
So
and Jesus said, "The things that
God's
are
possible with men are possible
and
with
he doesn't
God."
Like you.
So we
he
don't give
you
up on
cares
this guy
about
because
you.
He turns away the first
and he
time
shares your sorrow
because he's sorrowful.
And maybe
he
goes away and thinks about
it
and decides to get rid of his riches and comes back.
The rich young ruler.
But the main point would be that he's got everything together in his life just right spiritually. He's honest, God-fearing, moral man, but he's being held back by his possessions.
Yes,
most of us in
when John
Silicon Valley.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, when John Mark fled, that somebody grabbed a hold of his tunic and he ran away totally naked.
So at that point in his life, he may have had.
You don't have to think. Take this to be John Mark.
Lost his wealth and his clothes and everything.
Calls it
young John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark
Bible,
and I gave you the notes involved in the Book of Acts and
one of the young kids.
I didn't find that in any other commentaries.
Along with John.
And those who heard it said, "Well, who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "The things that are impossible with men
are
possible with God."
See,
so we don't give
we've
up
left
on this
all
guy
and followed you
the first time, and because he's sorrowful, maybe he goes away and thinks about.
Boy,
it.
Boy, I'm sure glad that we
gave up everything to go after you, Lord, and so we don't have to worry about giving up anything else. We've already done it, and too bad for this guy over here that won't give up his money. And Jesus deals very compassionately with Peter. He says,
"Yes,
assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers
that somebody grabbed
or wife or
his
children
and he ran
for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time
and
in the age to
come, young John Mark, who wrote
everlasting life,
and who later on gets involved in the Book of Acts.
Is that true, or
are
the young kids
made up?
Young?"
Is this really, really
John,
true?
Who wrote the Gospel?
That if
John.
You give up everything as best you can
28.
And you follow Jesus the
Peter
way Peter
said,
says he's following Jesus and
we've left
all
and followed you,
that you will not lack, you'll receive many times.
Boy, I'm sure glad that we
gave up everything to go after you,
true?
Lord, and so we don't have to worry about
in
giving up anything else.
Sense?
We've already done
if
it.
If you give up your money,
are you
going to
get
tons and tons more money?
No, not necessarily. And
Jesus deals very compassionately with Peter. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall
not
receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come. Everlasting
Jesus
life."
Right now has on his mind the fact that he's
is
almost
that true,
in Jerusalem,
or is that
and what's
going
to happen to him in Jerusalem? He's
is
going to be
really,
betrayed,
really true,
and stripped, and
that if you give up everything,
and crucified, and put
as
to
best
death,
you can,
and
pay
you
an follow Jesus
price
the way Peter
the cross,
says he's following
so
Jesus,
that these
and you
his
leave
followers
all kinds
can
of things
enter into eternal
that
life.
You will not lack.
So in the light of that, in the light of the weighty things that are on his mind. He's really
true?
Being really kind
yes,
of gracious
is.
To
in what sense?
Peter.
He doesn't
if
say,
you
Peter,
you
money,
idiot,
you have
you
no clue about what lies ahead.
He didn't say that.
No,
it's
not necessarily, no.
To Peter.
What are you
he
going to get?
He could have said that to us, too.
You're going to get the Holy Spirit. You're
now,
going to get joy. You're going to get peace.
31.
Fellowship.
He took the 12 aside.
A lot of people traveling around with
and
Jesus.
And you also get the things you
all
need.
All kinds of hangers on
and the Pharisees, and I don't know how he was able to maybe find a little space by the side of the road
right
where he
has
could
on
just sit with
mind,
the 12.
The fact that he's almost at Jerusalem.
He took the 12 aside, and he said, "Behold, we are
going
up
to
be
Jerusalem,
betrayed,
and
all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished."
And pay an incredible price on the cross.
And now,
so
if you knew the Old Testament and you knew the prophecies about
life.
The Messiah, you could write down a great
so in
long
light of
list
that,
of
in
all
the
of the
weighty
things
that
are on his
mind.
He's really being really kind of gracious
to
Jerusalem.
You Peter,
see
he
that
doesn't
all
say, Peter, you idiot. You have no clue.
He will be delivered to the Gentiles.
That
he was betrayed by
Peter.
His own people, the Jews.
He could also say that in the Beast too.
Betrayed and
now,
put to death
by the
instrumentality of the Gentiles.
He took the 12 aside.
He'll be mocked.
A lot of people traveling around with Jesus
and spit upon, and
all
they
kinds of hangers
him,
on,
and put him to death.
And the Pharisees.
And the third day he will rise again.
Found a little space
by the side of the road.
Got
where
it.
He could just
crystal
sit with clear. The 12,
put it down. The note. Put it down.
He took
there,
the 12 aside, and he said, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem."
And all
they understood
that are written
by
things.
The prophets concerning the Son of
this
Man.
This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken.
And now, if you knew the Old Testament and you knew
perfectly
the prophecies
clear,
about the Messiah, you could write down a great
when
long
prophecy
list
is in
of
the
all
process
the things
of
being
that
the Messiah
generally
would
most everybody misses
particularly
that.
On.
This is always
on
the danger of being
majoring
in Bible
see
prophecy.
That all from
and
the prophets.
Today's news and looking at the.
He will be delivered
the Bible
to the Gentiles
and getting it all figured right out.
Betrayed by
and
his
writing
people,
the book
Jews,
called
he's
the
also going to be
betrayed
or something like
and
that,
and
puts
the bestseller
and then
instrumentality
a couple
later,
of the Gentiles.
The world
will
be mocked
a little bit and, it's
and
all
insulted
out of
and
date.
Spit upon, and they will
so
scourge
a little bit of,
and put him to death. If the disciples
and the third
day,
he will
rise again.
How are we likely at times
to not
get
it?
Crystal clear.
Yes, I think
put it
so.
Down and note,
are
put
we
it down
likely
there,
to be uncertain about the future from time to
nope.
time? Yes.
They understood
is
not
that
okay. Yes, it's okay. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were
they're
spoken.
They're just ordinary guys.
Isn't that incredible?
Perfectly clear to us, isn't it?
When prophecy is in the process of being fulfilled,
I don't know how well read they were
it.
In the.
This is always the danger of being majoring in Bible prophecy and taking today's news and looking at the Bible prophecy in the Bible and interpreting it and getting it all figured right out and writing a book called The Late Great Planet Earth and or
if
something
had,
like
well,
that.
And
it's
Peter,
your bestseller
was
and then a couple
the
weeks later,
in Capernaum and if
the world changes a little bit and it's
to
all
the synagogue on a regular basis, he might have been exposed.
So there's a little bit of
time. We'll have to ask him. I don't know.
If the disciples, and they're with Jesus,
we
don't get it,
inquire.
How are we likely at times to not get it?
Yes, I think so.
Are we likely to be uncertain about the future from time to time? Yes. Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. They're just ordinary guys, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how well read they were in the Old Testament. Yes. Yes. And the, so the guilt for the death of Jesus.
If he
was
had well,
could, rather
Peter's house was across from the synagogue in Capernaum,
the
and if he had
culture.
Dropped in to the synagogue
so
on a regular
off
basis,
hook,
he might have been
at all.
Exposed over time. We'll have to ask him. I don't know.
We're going to have to inquire. Well, of course, they're quite used to false teachers and false messiahs coming up on the scene and getting put to death, and it's no big deal. And they probably, if Jesus is just another troublemaker, well, we got to get rid of him too. So I don't think they paid much attention to the Old Testament. Verse 35. Now we're getting to Jericho at last. It happened that he was coming near to Jericho. Jericho's at the north end of the Dead Sea.
Yes.
It's way below sea level. It's warm and tropical. Grow bananas
yes,
there.
Then,
so the
apples and tropical
the,
fruits. And
guilt for the
all
death of
round.
Jesus is distributed rather.
It's 22 miles to Jerusalem. Uphill
level.
Jerusalem
up
straight up
hill
out of Jericho.
So nobody
it happened
gets off
that
the
as
hook
he was coming near Jericho,
that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. Mark's Gospel says there's two blind men. Hearing a multitude
well, of course,
passing by, the blind man asked what it meant.
And, false messiahs,
and they
coming up on
told
the
him that Jesus
to death,
of Nazareth
no
was
deal.
Passing by.
They probably
and he cried
Jesus
out, saying, Jesus, Son
of
David,
we
have
get rid
mercy
of him
on me. So I don't
Does
think
it
say
much
Jesus of Nazareth. He calls him
Testament.
Jesus,
verse
Son
35.
Of David.
There, clue there.
Now we're getting to Jericho at last.
Yeah.
It happened.
And what does he
that
ask
he was
for?
Coming near to Jericho.
Mercy.
Jericho's at the north
mercy.
End of the Dead
so
Sea.
He
way below sea level.
His sinfulness and his need
in bananas there.
The,
being blind.
Pineapples and tropical fruits and vegetables all year round.
Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet.
Shut up.
Straight uphill and out of Jericho.
Jesus has got more important
things to do. It happened that as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man
shouldn't be bugging him.
Sat by the road
with the kids bugging him earlier. And
Mark's gospel says there's two blind men.
Now we're going to have trouble with you.
Hearing a multitude passing by, the blind man asked what it meant.
But the
blind man cries out all the more.
Jesus of Nazareth interrupting, disturbing everybody.
Son of David,
have
mercy on me.
And he cried out, saying, Jesus,
Son of David,
have mercy on me.
And commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him,
he calls him Jesus,
what do you want me to do for you? And the man said, Lord,
that
I might receive my
sight.
Jesus said to him,
receive
your
sight.
Of
his sinfulness and his need, and has saved you.
Blind. Immediately he received
then those
his sight
who went before warned him that he should be quiet.
God.
Shut up.
All the people, when they saw
Jesus
it, gave praise to God.
More important things to do, and he's on important
did he get something more than
the healing of his eyesight?
Him.
We had trouble with the kids bugging him
yes,
earlier.
Yes, evidently
he did. Evidently he got a relationship with Jesus.
Now we're going to have trouble with you.
Which was the, what he wanted more than anything else, but he also got
the blind man cries out all the more, big loud voice,
interrupting,
disturbing everybody. Son of David, have mercy on me.
Why did Jesus get
Jesus
stopped for this one
still
guy? Why?
And commanded him to be
brought on
the
roadside.
And when he had come near, he asked him,
what
do you want
me to do for you?
And the man said, Lord,
and he knew
that I might receive my sight.
Jesus looked at him and knew instantly his heart.
Receive your sight. Your faith
interesting.
Has
a day in the life of Jesus.
Be
very, very interesting.
Immediately he received
great
his sight.
Great crowds of people and everyone
followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it,
gave praise to God.
Jesus,
did he get something more
entered
than
and passed
the healing
through Jericho
of his eyesight?
And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was
a
chief tax collector, and he was rich.
Which
now
was
this
the,
guy
what
is
he
the
wanted
drug
more
dealer.
Than anything else, but he also
Grant.
Got
he runs the casinos, he runs
sight.
The,
once I was blind,
the undercover criminal activities in town.
He's very rich, and how did he get very rich?
Why did
by Jesus get stop for this
and
one
tax
guy?
Collecting
why?
Big time.
All kinds of people on the
and
roadside.
And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not
because
the crowd he
was of short stature. Short guy.
And he knew who Jesus was.
He ran
was,
ahead
and
climbed
Jesus
up into a sycamore tree to see him.
He
heart.
Was going to pass that way. So he clambered around, he went ahead down the road a little bit.
A day in the life of
Jesus
would
pass, and he clambered
very,
up this
very
sycamore
interesting. Big tree. I think it's
great
go to
crowds
tree,
of people, and every once in a while he stops
tree,
for
or one
somebody,
like it,
low life, doesn't matter. Jesus,
for a small
entered
charge.
And passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man
and
named
Jesus
Zacchaeus
came now
who was
to this
chief
by
tax
the tree,
collector,
and he was rich.
And
now,
he looked up and saw Zacchaeus, and he said,
Grant.
Zacchaeus, he runs the casinos, he runs the
Zacchaeus
the undercover
word,
criminal activities
out, hadn't
in town.
He's very rich.
Jesus
and how
looks
did
up,
he get very
and somehow
rich
knows the guy's name, and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down.
I'm going to stay at your house tonight.
And he sought to
no
see
motels
who
there.
Jesus
invites
was, but he could not because of the
house.
Crowd. He was of short stature.
Right out of the blue.
Short guy.
No.
He ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him.
Zacchaeus
he made haste and came down
way,
and received
so he
him
around,
joyfully.
He went ahead down the road a little bit,
Zacchaeus
went, knowing Jesus was passing.
Guy.
He climbed up this sycamore
crook.
Tree. I think if you go to Jericho, you can no see good Jesus. Low-life tree or
sinner
just like it. They show you big tree.
When they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured, saying, for a small
he,
charge,
Jesus has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.
And Jesus
Zacchaeus
came
stood
now
and
to
said
this,
to the
Lord,
the tree,
look, Lord,
I gave,
and he looked
I,
up
I
and
give,
saw
I,
Zacchaeus,
giving,
and
half
he said,
of
Zacchaeus,
my
to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore
Jesus
fourfold.
Up, somehow knows the guy's
Jesus
name, and
to him,
he says,
today,
Zacchaeus, make haste and
salvation has
I'm
come
stay
to
at your
house
tonight.
Because
no
he
motels
also
there, invites himself to Zacchaeus' house.
For the Son
right
of Man
of
has come to seek
no
and to save
in advance
that
no, which was
nothing.
Lost.
Zacchaeus made
Zacchaeus
haste and came down and received him joyfully.
Jesus is going to go see
Zacchaeus,
an
interesting guy here.
He's a crook,
low life tax collector,
and what is Zacchaeus, low life
instant sinner? When they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured, saying, "He, Jesus, has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I'm giving half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So Zacchaeus is on this list of people that Jesus is going to go seek and find. It doesn't matter that he's a low-life tax collector. And what is Zacchaeus' instant, this transformation of his life, and what's he going to do? He's going to give half of his money to the poor, and then he's got 50% left over, which he could live comfortably on, but he's going to go out and find all the people he's collected taxes from and cheated and give them back the money he took from them. The law of Moses would say that in cases of restitution, you might want to add a fifth. That's not a fifth of scotch. It's 20%. But this man isn't content to restore 20%. He says four times. So Zacchaeus is going to end up broke, if we figure that right. But what about his whole family and his household? All safe in the family of God. And here again, was this man lost? This transformation of his life, and what's he going to do? Was he needy? He most certainly was.
He's going to give half of his
money to the poor, the Son of Man.
And then he's got 50% left over,
which he could live comfortably on. But Son of Man came to seek and to save lost.
He's
going to
go out
to restore
and find all
which
the people
he's collected
taxes
and dysfunctional
from
about us, and give them back the money
he took
from them. The law of Moses would say that
Jews
in
made
cases
good
of restitution.
You might want to
add fellow
a fifth.
Jews, and they were not a fifth of Scotch.
When they went bad, they could
20%.
Be really good at extorting and cheating.
So, but this man isn't content to restore
countrymen.
That 20%, he says.
So, look down on
four times. So Zacchaeus is going to end up
broke.
Jesus is not being very cool here today.
That right.
Going after this. These,
but
this
what about his whole family
and his household?
Probably should have just stayed there
all
on the roadside
in the family of God.
And here again, was this man lost?
Going to Zacchaeus and inviting himself over for dinner.
Was he needy?
But
he most certainly was.
And what does he get? He
gets
the kind of crowd that
the Son of Man
coming and seeking and finding him and changing him on an instant.
Now we're going to be heading towards Jerusalem.
So next week
we'll get to Jerusalem
and restore
that
the disciples
broken.
Are all thinking,
and
this boy, we're going to go to Jerusalem now, and the kingdom of God's going to come right in on us at long last, and we're all going to get our
Jews
rewards,
good
and we're all going
to
see
the
consummation
Jews
of the
3 years with Jesus.
When they went bad, they could be really good at extorting and cheating and
their fellow countrymen.
Our Father, thank you for
For this just remarkable section in the Gospel of Luke.
This is Jesus
incredible,
is not being very
unpredictable
cool
man
here
today.
Jesus, our Lord,
going after this
blind
heart
man
of compassion
that
he has.
Should have just stayed there on the
unpredictable
roadside
nature
and been
blind
and
actions
suffered
among
like everybody
else,
and then going
great
to
Zacchaeus
and inviting himself over for dinner
seems so appropriate
2,000 years after the fact.
That's the kind
we've
of crowd that
you heard of or
like
met a man
like
this. We've never heard a teacher like this.
Or
now we're going
like
to be heading towards Jerusalem.
So
how
next week we'll
can we not
Jerusalem
help
and
stop
the disciples
and look at
our
own
lives
thinking,
and see,
boy, we're going to go to Jerusalem now, and the kingdom of God
is going
to come right in on us at long last.
Surely we are.
And we're all going to get our rewards,
and
we're all going
to look
at
our own
self-righteousness
and our own
high opinion of ourselves, and
to
look also at our own wealth and riches and affluence.
Our Father, thank you for
that sort that may be holding
for this just remarkable section in the Gospel.
Thank you for your great mercy and incredible,
unpredictable
man,
Jesus, our Lord.
Your patience with us,
the heart of compassion he has,
to take us in like little children and to teach us
unpredictable nature of
our
actions
father
among men,
and friend and brother.
A great teaching that
thanks
just,
for putting us together into a great
seems
big
so
family,
appropriate 2,000
family.
Years after the fact.
We're very grateful for
we've
that.
Never
and
heard of or met a man like this.
Father,
we've never heard a teacher like this.
And that,
or words like this.
All fathers on earth are really
how,
named after you.
How can we not
it's
help
but remember our
stop and look at our own lives
in the name
and
of
see
Jesus.
If indeed we are not in need of your mercy.